Turn to Mark chapter 4 this evening. Mark chapter 4. And I want to read one verse tonight. We'll be looking at a few more in a few minutes, but I want to read one verse this evening. And here's my message thought for tonight. He's more than a title. He's more than a title. Now let me read verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part, which would be the stern. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master. You might be interested to know that that word master is also the word teacher. They were saying, saying unto him, Teacher, carest thou not that we perish? Now you think about something tonight. What makes a good teacher? You have to have students to have a teacher, don't you? It's one thing to be teaching, but it's another thing to be an effective teacher, because people are listening and people are learning. Here's the amazing thing. They called him teacher, but they wouldn't let him teach. Those disciples called him teacher, but they just weren't letting him teach them. He was teaching them just as much in the ship as he had been teaching the multitudes on the shore. You see, it's easy to throw out titles. It's easy to call someone something, but it's another thing to let them be what they are. If he's teacher, then let him teach. And we'll talk about that. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, tonight we give you thanks for this good day that you've blessed us with, for the sweet spirit in the service today, both services, for the music that's warmed our hearts. And now, Heavenly Father, I do pray tonight for your blessings upon this message. We do pray for all of the prayer concerns that's been shared this day. We ask you, Lord, to bless accordingly. Now, Lord, bless us now and direct our attention to the Word of God, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm saying this evening that he's more than a teacher. Now, look at chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. And notice the fact of Jesus was teaching. Now, you'll see in verse 1, and he began again to teach. Doesn't say preach. It says to teach. To teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And then verse 2, and he taught them. He taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. So we see that he began to teach. We see that he taught. Now the disciples in the boat, when the storm was taking place, when the wind was raging, when the storm came and the waves were there, they called him teacher. They called him teacher. But at that point of time, they weren't letting him teach. Now, let's think about this tonight. Jesus was a teacher. Now, I know he preached. Yes, we all know that. But yet it's amazing how the times he's called teacher. So he was teaching. When we think of teaching, well, what about his audience? The chapter begins by letting us see his audience. A great multitude gathered. He taught them on the shore. He gave parables. He was teaching them. So his audience was both on the bank, but his teaching didn't end. When he got into that boat with his disciples and said, let's go over on the other side. Actually, he never quit teaching. You see, he taught the multitudes, but he also would teach his disciples. Now, would it make sense he would teach the multitude and then not teach his disciples? It wouldn't even make sense, would it? So basically, his teaching continued on. So we can see here his audience was on the bank and on the ship. Now, what about his method? He used parables on the bank. He spoke in parables. I thought about it like this. On the bank, he used parables. You could say he taught with sentences. With sentences. But in the boat, he taught with a storm. His teaching was done with sentences on the bank, but now it's being done with a storm in the boat, because there's a great lesson there in that storm. He's teacher. We all agree with that, right? I believe he's teaching tonight. I believe that you and I are in a learning mode tonight. But there's more than learning just in church. Learning goes on throughout the week. He's teacher. I say, let him teach. Now, here's a good point. I've preached from this passage many times, and you probably know it by heart, I'm sure. Now, would this make sense? Now, stop and think about this. How could he teach them if he was going to let them drown? They're going over from the shore to the other side. If the ship goes down, how can he teach them if he's going to let them drown? It's kind of hard to teach drowning people. So that would not make sense. When Jesus made the declaration, we're going over on the other side, I think he meant it, don't you? So that means I don't care how much the storm may come and how what magnitude it might be, when God said we're going over, God meant we're going over. And I can make an application tonight and say to all of us, God says we're going to pass over, and we're going to pass over. God says we're going to make it, we're going to make it. I mean, nothing is going to monkey wrench God's purpose. God has a plan for our life, and ISIS isn't going to interrupt it. Christians tonight are safer than what they realize. Now, I'm not saying we can't be persecuted. That can happen. In fact, I suspicion it's going to happen. I believe this. In fact, I'll go so far as to say tonight, there's coming a time that you and I had better be very vigilant, keep our eyes open, and understand situation awareness all the time around us. But there's one thing we can know, whether it's by death or whether we live, we're still on the victory side. God still said we're going to cross over. He's more than a title. He really is. We who call him Lord, talking about Christians, understand tonight that he's more than a title. We say he's Lord. He is Lord. But let's let him be Lord. Let's let him have mastery over our lives. Let's let him control our lives. Let's let him be in control. He's Lord. He's sovereign. Let's let him control things then. Why call him Lord if we're not going to let him be Lord? I see three things tonight in this passage. Three lessons we see. Three lessons. Here they are. In case you fall asleep sometime during the service, I'm going to give you the outline up front, so at least you go home with the outline. We have a lesson on, first of all, favor. Number two, we have a lesson on fear. And then we have a lesson on a formula. We have a lesson on a favor, a lesson on a fear, and a lesson on a formula. Now you're scratching your heads wondering how am I going to justify that outline? Well, I think I can. First of all, would you look with me at verse number 35? We see a lesson on a favor, verse number 35. Verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us, don't you like that word us? Let us pass over unto the other side. Now to say let us, there we have the implication that he is going to be with them. And I say that's a favor, don't you? Don't you agree tonight it's a favor on God's part to be with his people? That is a favor. I mean, how could you beat the favor of a person's presence? It's one thing for the Lord to say, disciples, y'all get in the boat, and I'll meet you on the other side. But the Lord didn't say that though, did he? He said, let us pass over. So you see, he's going to be with them while they pass. Which means, whatever happens in the course of the journey, Jesus will be there and will experience it right along with them. That's a favor of his presence. I'm glad tonight that he's blessed us with that favor. We have the favor of His presence. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We know that Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, you're bought with a price. The Holy Spirit of God is within every believer, and to say the Holy Spirit is within every believer, we know also the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that's His presence. That's His presence. We're blessed with His favor. In fact, there's nothing that you and I can do to drive Him out. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can, you know, we can do dumb things and displease the Lord, but we cannot drive God out of our lives. We have the favor of His presence. And what a jewel that is. I would rather have Him with me than simply to have things that He would give me. When someone's with you, when you say that that is a crown jewel of a blessing. I mean, it's just like this. If people, when people take the time out of their busy schedule to spend time with us, that means worlds. That means a world, doesn't it? When you spend time with people, you're taking precious time. When you spend it with people, your presence is one of the greatest blessings and gifts that you can give someone, your presence. Now think about this. The Lord was present with His disciples. So we see here a lesson in a favor, His presence, and then I like this. We see not only His presence, but His promise. Did you see that promise in verse 35? Verse 35, let us pass over. He didn't say, let's go out to a point and then drown. He didn't say, let's just go a little ways out and then there's going to be problems and for some unforeseen reason, we're not going to make it to the other side. He actually uses the words other side. That's a promise. Now tell me, since God gave them the promise, they were going to the other side. Why did not their mind kick in? And why could not they remember that? When they got in the midst of that storm and they had their fears, thinking that the ship was going down, why couldn't they remember that God had just said, we're going to the other side? You say, that seems strange, doesn't it? Well, you know why it shouldn't seem strange? Because you and I are equally as guilty. We believe God at certain times, and other times we don't believe God. We take Him at His word sometimes, other times we don't take Him at His word. Sometimes we're rejoicing, we sense His presence, and we know that God is blessing us, and we can sense His blessings, but other times when the problems come, when the storms come along, then the first thing we want to do many times is to doubt God. We see His presence, let us. We see His promise, pass over. Then we see His plan. Now, where is His plan? Well, it's not spelled out, but I think I know what it was. What was His plan? I believe that His plan was to test and to develop His disciples, to teach them faith. Do you think God knew the storms were coming? I believe Jesus did. He's omniscient. And by the way, he's sleeping in the back of that, in the stern of that boat. He actually goes to sleep. Why? Well, understand, he's man. Understand, he's been on the bank teaching multitudes of people. And God, Christ as man, was tired. We have there a glimpse of His humanity, don't we? He's sleeping in the stern. But I believe this. I believe the Lord knew before He went to sleep, the Lord knew that everything was going to be okay because they would have to be okay because He'd already said, we're going to pass over. So it was a good time for Him to take a nap anyway. God, the Lord knew that nap would not disturb the progress and the results of what would take place. But there's a plan there. Here's the plan. Test the disciples. Here's the plan, develop their faith. Here's the plan, cause them to look to the Lord more closely. That's the plan. I don't believe that plan has been discontinued. I believe that plan goes on today in our lives. I believe that plan works for 2015. I believe God would develop us tonight. I believe the Lord would have our faith to be strengthened. And sometimes the best way to have it strengthened is through the storms. I tell you, book learning sometimes doesn't get the job done, but boat learning will do it every time. We learn more in the boat than we do on the bank, because in the boat, we're at the mercy of the elements, but especially we need to learn, we learn to trust God more in the boat. So we notice here, we see his plan. Faith is tested by adversity. If faith cannot be tested, it's not worth much. Real faith trusts him, even when it cannot trace him. You hear what I say? Real faith trusts God, even when we can't trace his hand. We still can trust him. Real faith believes him, even when we cannot see him. The timing, by the way, of the storm makes this even more trying. Makes it more trying. The timing of the storm. When did the storm occur? Well, it occurred at the right time to get their attention, whatever time it was. And by the way, and here's a point too, they were not on a cruise ship. This was a serious ship. This was a ship taking them to the other side. They weren't on a cruise. And the type of ship that they were on was subject to being caught in storms and perhaps not as seaweary, or sea, I think that's the right term, of what, say a larger vessel. So you see, God knew what he was doing. I mean, if that same storm would have hit a great big majestic ship, then it would not have had the impact. But God knew it was the right ship at the right time. And the storm came at the right time to test their faith. The Lord's an on-time God, isn't he? You know, by the way, if more people today would sail on purpose, spend less time on pleasure ships, and more time on serious ships, we'd learn more in the storm. Our society, by the way, today has relegated itself to a pleasure-loving society. I wonder how many billions of dollars come in every year on cruise ships. Everybody today is taking a cruise. People are cruising all around the place. I mean, preachers are on cruise, gospel quartets are cruising. That's okay. But I'll tell you, sometimes I think this, I believe we spend too much time emphasizing pleasures and less time emphasizing things that will really impact our spiritual life more. I'm not against cruising. I'd probably go on one, but I'd get sick probably. That's why I don't go on. So I know you understand that. Now, we need, here's what I learned. And by the way, you can see tonight this is kind of one of them. I'm just kind of teaching my way through this a little bit. But we need to be careful in choosing our ships, though. Have you ever thought about this? You didn't come tonight expecting to have to think, did you? You know, Jonah, I want to make a comparison here. Jonah once got on the wrong boat and got into a storm because of disobedience. The disciples got on the right boat and got into a storm because of obedience. You ever thought about that? Jonah wound up in the storm because he was disobedient. The disciples wound up in the storm because they were obedient. God wanted them to be tested. The Lord designed the storm. Another point. Just because the Lord's in the boat doesn't mean a person will be exempt from a storm. The Lord's in the boat, but the storm still came. Whoever said Christians don't suffer? Whoever said Christians don't have troubles and trials and problems? Why, you... We know it happens. Jesus was on the boat when the storm came. Hadn't they learned by now that he was in control? I imagine this. I imagine those disciples, when they sit on the bank. Now, think about this for just a moment. Jesus is teaching that multitude of people. He's using parables, illustrations. And I'll bet that pious bunch of disciples of his, I'm saying pious, I'm trying to illustrate the point here. I'll bet they were nodding their heads, and they were saying in so many words in that nonverbal language, they were saying, man, listen to our master teach. Boy, what a great lesson. They were sitting there listening as Jesus taught the multitudes. They were nodding their heads, and I'll bet they really looked pious. I mean, they looked like they were with it. Really? They probably were amening, let's say. They were probably saying, give it to them, Lord. You know, they were with him all the way, but then they get out of that boat and he no longer is their teacher. Boy, he's a great teacher on the bank. He's a great teacher when they can sit back and be under the comfort of a tree and everything's going well. But how about his teaching ability when the storms come and the boat starts shaking? How about then? See, in reality, we must let him be teacher all the time. And he's still teaching us during the days of trouble. I see here a lesson in favor. Now, faith is being tested. That's what it is. I say again, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Our faith must be tested. You know, the seminary of faith has a high tuition. It does. Seminary of faith has a high tuition, but fortunately God's people can get tuition assistance from the master teacher. The tuition's high in the school of faith. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to suffer. You're going to have some storms. You're going to have to go through some adversity. The seminary of faith has a high tuition, but I've never found a time. But what if I didn't go into, quote unquote, the dean's office, let's say, and draw and get some, I could always get some tuition assistance from the schoolmaster. I mean, the principal of the school helps us through the school. There's a lesson on favor. Let's keep rolling here. He's with them. The favor of his presence. Number two, there's a lesson on fear. A lesson on fear. Look at verse 40. Verse 40, please. He said to them, why are you so fearful? Well, they were fearful, weren't they? They were fearful. Now, their fear, by the way, was unfounded. It was unfounded fear. Why, preacher? Why, when the storms arise, so does the master of the sea. Works every time that way. When the storms arise, so does the master of the sea. Jesus is the master of the sea. You know, you read this chapter here, you find him master of the sea. You come to chapter 5, which I referenced this morning, you see him master over sin. He drove out those demons. Also in chapter 5, you see him master over a disease. He healed that woman that had that problem for 38 years or 12 years. Then he also raised a 12-year-old child back to life in chapter 5. He's master, my friend. He's master. He's master. The fear was unfounded. You see, they failed to realize the fact that Jesus, yes, he was a passenger. He was on that ship. But guess what? He was more than a passenger. He was a captain. Don't ever forget that. He not only is in our ship with us, but thank God he's the captain of the ship. He's a captain. That puts him in a different league, doesn't it? He's omniscient. He hears and knows everything that goes on. Jesus might be sleeping, but he knows, he hears, he's aware, I believe, of what is going on. That's just like a mother hearing a child. You know, this is a fact. Mothers are this way with their children. You know, a mother, for example, let's say the child cries in the middle of the night. Let's say it's a noisy night. Let's say there's a storm outside. Let's say a train track is near and a train whistle blows. Or someone blows her horn. Have you noticed about a mother, though? They always can still hear the cry of their child. It seems like in spite of all of the noises, a mother still hears the cry of their baby. And I'm telling you, God's the same way towards the cries of His people. Jesus heard and knew about their fear. But it was unfounded. Could I also point out tonight, their fear was unkind. I want to make a point here tonight. I want you to look at verse 38. Their fear was unkind. In verse number 38 it says, He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, that's cold. That's unkind. Imagine using those words to the Master, to the Lord, and saying, don't you care that we perish? That's unkindness. Well, let's not slight those disciples. I want to say something else about this. These are unkind words. But hey, here's a point that we all know. Hurting people many times become unkind. Hurting people are sometimes unkind. Sometimes hateful words come from a sad heart. They really do. Try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I think that's important. Give them the benefit of the doubt. It just could be that people are hurting. Notice Jesus didn't say, why are you so unkind? He didn't say that, did he? I say to all of us tonight, when people are unkind, give them the benefit of the doubt. Unkind words sometimes come from a sad heart. They come from hurts inside. People are going through something. And sometimes they express themselves and they're not too tactful. But it flows from a hurting heart. I can be honest and tell you tonight, there have been times that I've been hurting inside about something. And I find myself sometimes rather irritable. Would you all be fair enough to say that's true of you too? I mean, that's just like in a church. Sometimes someone will hurt someone's feeling. And the one whose feeling gets hurt, many times, if we're not careful, they'll bow up and they'll get on the defensive. And they'll not give any benefit of the doubt. And then sometimes they will return unkindness with unkindness. That's the worst thing we could do. These disciples, they used unkind words because they were hurting. There was a fear. But Jesus knew that. He didn't say, why are you unkind? No, He didn't say that. Good lesson. Good lesson. We need to duplicate that lesson tonight. Their fear was unfounded. Their fear was unmindful. They weren't using their mind. When Jesus said, why are you fearful? Well, that has the implication, well, you know, they're unmindful. They're not thinking. They're not thinking. In other words, they're really not using their minds the way they should when they think that they're going to drown. They're not thinking. Now, why would Jesus let the ship go down with Him on board? They're not thinking. How could His mission be accomplished if He's drowned? Why would He even take them on a sinking ship? Had the disciples been playing hooky in previous classes? Did they have memory problems? Maybe they were saying their amens and nodding and, you know, really upholding the Lord as He taught on the bank. But now that they're really having to put to the, being tested in this way, they're not treating Him like He's teacher now. They're doubting Him. They're doubting Him. They're unmindful. I believe God gave us minds to use, don't you? We ought to think through things. I mean, listen to me. If we can make a case for God being unfaithful yesterday to us, then we can make a case for God being unfaithful to us today. If we could pull from the past and we could say, I've got a case in point of a time when the Lord let me down and God was unfaithful to me, then we would have a case in point to prove that God could be unfaithful now, but it's never going to happen. I'm telling you, the same God that stood by our side yesterday will be by our side today. Now, there's times it's just like you get up sometimes in the morning and you head off and there's a mass fog around and you can't see. The visibility is very poor. You can't see. As you drive down the road, you can't see hardly at all. But as you're driving down the road, you're going by those same buildings that's always been there. You're going by the same points of that, you know, major points that you always pass in that particular route. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. Well, I'm telling you, sometimes when our minds get foggy and we get discouraged and we can't think clearly, understand God's still there. There's just a fog. Their fear was unmindful. Unmindful. Now, and another point, and I'm through. We see a lesson in favor. He was with them. We see a lesson on fear. He would teach them. There was nothing to be fearful about. And then there's a lesson on a formula. And here it is. Look at verse 41. Verse 41. This is one of those passages of Scripture that I've read many times, but I don't think I'd seen this before. It says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. Well, now when did this fear kick in? After he had already stilled the sea. Because in verse 39 he said, peace be still. Then in verse 40 he said, why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. Now, this is a strange kind of fear here. I mean, their fear now is pertaining to what they've seen him do. It's pertaining to who he is, how he's proven himself, how he's calmed the storm. Now they're fearful because of that. Well, here's the formula. They needed to get their fear in the right order. If they would have, if that fear, verse number 40, let's say, or verse number 41, had kicked in first, then the other fear would have been a lesser fear. When it comes to fear, if our fear, our reverential trust, by the way, is what that is. If our fear, reverential trust, will be because of who God is and what God can do, then all other fears are secondary fears. If we can focus on who He is and what He can do, then everything else takes a back seat in terms of fear. Let's get this formula right. Stay glued to Him. Everything else will fit in place. The Bible says in Psalm 112, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. You'll see in verse number 40 through 41, there's three words used there. The word, verse number 40, why. He said to them, why? Word why, circle it. Then you'll notice the word how. He said, why are you so fearful? How? Notice, how is it that you have no faith? And then you come down to verse number 41, he uses the word what. We see why, how, and a what. Amazing. If the disciples would have locked in on the what, they would not have been fearful. Notice how the what says, it says, what manner of man is this? If they would have locked in on the what, then they would not have been fearful. Quite frankly, our biggest problem tonight is we really don't keep our eyes on the Lord enough. If we can stay glued to Him who is altogether lovely and almighty God and all powerful And that friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that one who never leaves us nor forsakes us, the one who's a master of the storm, the one who's a master over sin, the one who's a master over death, if we can really believe that and realize that and keep our eyes on Him, we can handle the other fears of life. Stay focused on the what, and we'll get through the other things. Great lessons that day on the sea. Remember, He's truly more than a teacher. I say this, let Him teach. We call Him Master, then let Him teach us. Let that teaching go on today, right now. Let that teaching go on tomorrow when you hit your job and your boss turns on you. Let that teaching still be tomorrow when you face a problem, when you face a burden, when you face that challenge, when you get depressed and discouraged and down and out and can't pay a bill. And everything seems to come unglued. Still let Him teach. He's still in the boat. And perhaps we'll learn more in the boat than we'll ever learn on the bank. Let's bow our heads.